Today on Hardwired.
Israel under Saul had declined into a nation of cowards that have forgotten who they were in God. And I got to tell you, church, when I look at the church today, I have to think that there are some of us, there are many churches and many Christians throughout the nation who are in this very condition. They are quivering in their tents. They're not standing up. They have forgotten who they are in God.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Well, this is the last in our powerful series that we've called Bible Blockbusters, and we're going to be dealing with a Bible story that almost anybody in the world has at least heard of, and that is David's battle with the giant Goliath. But we're going to really look at how David overcame, how David defeated him, and how it is a type and a shadow and a picture of how you and I win our battles with the great giants of our life. So grab your Bible and something to write with, and let's dig into what this story tells us about the ultimate fighter, David and the giant.
If I were to go anywhere in the world and ask somebody, what do you know about the Bible? What story do you know? Virtually anybody, if they knew anything about the Bible, they would know the story of David and Goliath. It's the most famous Bible story. Has all the ingredients of a great movie. Fearsome giant, a paralyzed army, a young hero up against impossible odds, and then a headline-making victory that rocks a nation. This young man, David, went from a zero to a hero, just like that. It's an incredible story, and the story in a nutshell is this. The Philistine army had gathered for war against Israel. This was an army of giants. These were giant men, huge, natural fighters. And a Philistine giant, the champion, measuring over 9 feet tall and wearing full armor, came out every day for 40 days. Amazing. Mocking and challenging the Israelites. Now, what was happening is it was an intimidation campaign. And this is what the enemy of our soul does. He goes on an intimidation campaign with you and me, uses a giant to do it. Intimidation campaign. Every day this giant came out and mocked the army. Who do you think you are? You're not so great. You're not all that. And then mocked the God of Israel. And that's what the giants in our life do with us. They mock us and they mock our God. They challenge our God's power. They mock us for believing God. They tell us that there is no victory in God. They come against our faith or against our belief system. They come against what we're about, our identity in Him. Tell us we're wasting our time. That it's old-fashioned, that it's antiquated to believe the things we do. We ought to get up to speed, be more modern. And so these giants, this Goliath is a type. He is a type of every giant in every life of every person, and everybody in here battles some giant at some time. And you know who your giant is and how your giant gets to you. Nobody has to come up and say, hey, you've got a giant. No, I know I've got a giant. And that giant particularly has a way of getting to you and getting your attention and weakening you and defeating you if you let him. So here we have this personification of every giant we face. Saul, the king of Israel, and the whole army of Israel are terrified of this one man. Now, I'm 6'1". Imagine a giant 3 feet taller, half my length. He's muscular. He's girt in armor. It says wearing full armor. Came out every day, mocking, challenging the Israelites, making fun of them. We see that the giant Goliath had succeeded in his intimidation campaign, and that the entire army of Israel were terrified, quivering in their tents. A very sad sight to see because, listen, this was not who God called them to be. It's an incredibly tragic sight to see Israel quivering in their tents over one man. They had brought down giant after giant and taken city after city, but that was then, this is now. Something has happened to them. Their entire reputation as a nation had been one of the great God, Jehovah, working with them, vanquishing their foes, and rendering them undefeatable. The Bible tells us that as Israel moved from city to city in the promised land, that when the enemies of God knew they were coming, that their hearts melted with fear over these people because they knew it wasn't just them, but the God of the universe was with them. And everywhere they went, they won. Everywhere they went, they got the victory. That was their reputation. So to see them all afraid, hiding in their tents over this one man, there's something really wrong with this picture. Israel under Saul, because there is trickle-down leadership. That's the principle. Israel under Saul had declined into a nation of cowards that have forgotten who they were in God. And I got to tell you, church, when I look at the church today, I have to think that there are some of us, there are many churches and many Christians throughout the nation who are in this very condition. They are quivering in their tents. They're not standing up. They have forgotten who they are in God. Let me tell you who you are. You are conquerors, more than conquerors, through him that is in Jesus Christ. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It said he always leads us in triumph in Jesus Christ. We are the winners and not the losers, above and not beneath, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field, blessed in our going out, blessed in our coming in. We are on the winning team, the winning side. That's who God's called us to be. But just like the Israeli army of old, as Goliath came out every day, I think that we have submitted now to political correctness and we have allowed the enemy to intimidate us, to put us in a spirit of fear, a fear of speaking up for Christ, a fear of taking a stand for the truth, a fear of witnessing, and a fear of really letting it be known that, hey, we are the Lord's and he is ours and his banner over us is love and we are children of the King and we're proud of it and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God put on us a boldness again as there was in that first century church who turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. One day, David, the youngest son of Jesse, was sent to the battle lines as this giant came out every day. He was sent there by his father Jesse to get word on how his brothers, who had been sent to the battle, were doing. Well, his brothers were afraid, terrified, intimidated, just like the rest of the soldiers. So David goes onto the scene, and right when he gets there, here comes Goliath, and he comes out mocking the army and mocking God. And David heard it. And it was okay when they mocked the army, but when they mocked God, something was triggered in David. Like it ought to be triggered in us when our Jesus is mocked and ridiculed. He said, mock me all you want, but you mock my God, you've crossed a line. Because he's my God. He's my shepherd. He's the one who leads me through the valley of the shadow. He takes my hand. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Because of him, my cup runneth over. He's the God I love, and you shouldn't mock him. The Bible says he heard it. And immediately, we see something in this young man, David. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of God? In other words, dude, who do you think you are? And David immediately volunteered, not just to join the army, but to personally go out against this giant. I love this young man. It took some persuasion, but King Saul, what a guy, finally agreed to let David fight against the giant. It should have been Saul, but here's a teenager coming in. He's a teenager. He's about 16 or 17. Think of the 16, 17-year-olds you know. And here comes a 16 or 17-year-old saying, I don't know who he thinks he is, but he's mocking the God of Israel. He's mocking my God. I'll go up against him myself. Now, Saul hears this and says, you got to be kidding me. You're just a youth. You're just a ruddy youth. You can't go up against him. He's a professional soldier. Well, Saul finally agreed and dressed in his simple tunic and carrying his shepherd's staff, slingshot, and a pouch full of stones. David approached Goliath, and Goliath looked at him and said, "You've got to be kidding me. This is the best that Israel's got. You're sending me a kid who doesn't even have armor? Are you kidding me? What an insult. Send me a real warrior." And he mocked him and hurled threats and insults at David. But now David speaks, and we find out what God has done in the heart of this young man, because there is also a giant in David. But it's not a wrong giant. It's a good giant. It is the giant God of Israel. Listen to what he says to this giant. He looks right at this guy that has terrified everybody else, and he says, "You come against me with your sword and your spear and your javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Now that's powerful. In the name of the Lord Almighty. The God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And now listen to the faith in him. Today, not tomorrow, not next week. It's going to happen right now, giant. Today, I'm going to give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air. The vultures are about to have a major feast because of what God's about to do. And the whole world, I love this. He wanted God to be known in the whole world. The whole world is going to know there is a God in Israel through the victory that's about to happen. And then David said, "It's not by sword and it's not by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Let me tell you about your giant. When your giant attacks you and intimidates you and threatens you and robs you and defeats you and gives you all kinds of hell on earth, can I tell you the battle is not yours? The battle is the Lord's. The first key to a victory over the giant in your life is to realize that when he attacks you, he attacks him. And God cares more about the giant that is harassing you than you do. And God says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show to you today, because he's going to bring your giant down, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. That habit is coming down. That fear is coming down. That doubt is coming down. That financial crisis is coming down. God has your giant in the hollow of his hand. And it looks big to you, but it's no big deal to God." As Goliath moved in for the kill, David reached into his bag and got one of those stones, put it in the sling, and sent it into Goliath's head. Finding a hole in the armor, the stone sank into the giant's forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. And I'm going to tell you, that sent a major shock factor all through the Philistine army and God's army looking out from their tents. They suddenly see this giant that has intimidated them for 40 days and nights. He hits the ground. The Philistine army didn't even see the stone coming. He was so accurate with it. It went like a bullet. David walked up, 16, 17 years old. Think about it. Took Goliath's sword, killed him, cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their hero was dead, they turned and ran. So the Israelites pursued, chasing and killing them and plundering their camp, just like David had told Goliath they would. Wow. No wonder it's the most famous story in the Bible.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
What a victory. What a young man. What a God in that young man. Shows me you can be really young and do a mighty exploit for God. You can be really young, and I mean shake the world for God. Now, this was not only a great military victory, but we got to understand that essentially at its root, it was a great spiritual victory. This was very spiritual, what was going on. God's called people were under attack, and they were being attacked by giants. And this great giant, Goliath, chief among them, was very spiritual. The Philistines were Israel's avowed enemy. They stood in the path of God's people, taking the land and fulfilling God's promise to them. Just like your giant stands in front of you and doesn't want you to have love, joy, and peace, doesn't want you to have victory, doesn't want you getting victory over that habit. Your giant stands in front of you and intimidates you to block you from your promised land. But then along came David. And we got to look a little bit into his history. Where did he get this? Well, prior to his great victory over Goliath, David had been alone in the fields with his sheep. Taking up his harp, he had become an avid worshiper of God, penning the best known poems in the world called the Psalms. Psalms 23, no better known poem. He had gotten to know God when no one was around. God knew that there was one day going to be a Goliath coming against God's people. And so he had a secret weapon in the shadows. Just like he's got a secret weapon, many of them right now in the shadows. And they're going to step onto the stage of the world right when it looks like all is lost. God brings his own giant killers out. He calls them out of here and he calls them out of there. Nobody knew their name. They have been taught in the shadows. They have learned how to worship God. God did not teach David how to use a sword, how to use a spear, how to use a bow and arrow. He taught him how to worship God because there is power in worship. When Jehoshaphat had a great army coming towards them, he sent the worshipers out, sent them out first in line, and they worshiped God. And when they worshiped God, he defeated the enemy, confused the enemy. They turned on themselves. David learned how to worship God in the shadows when nobody was looking. And we know that he learned how to operate in the power of God because he himself testified to Saul. One day I was watching over my sheep and a bear came out of nowhere. And he grabbed one of my sheep in his jaws and something came upon me. And I went out and I grabbed that bear by his beard and I killed him with my bare hands. And when I let go, I walked off and fell apart. Not really. But sometimes God will give you a victory and you walk away and you go, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. What was I thinking? The power of God came on him. So he said, so I'm now understanding that when there is an enemy, my God strengthens my hands. My God comes upon me in an anointing of the Holy Spirit. My God empowers me to defeat the bears of my life. And see, what God wants us to understand is the lion and the bear that you're dealing with right now, those enemies that are attacking you in your private life, they are not there to defeat you. They are there to teach you how to move in the power of God. Because what you defeat in private is going to empower you to bring down a Goliath in public. Every battle you're facing is Holy Ghost class 101. So he defeated the bear, and then here comes a lion. A lion grabs one of the sheep. He grabbed the lion with his bare hands. Same thing happened. Kill the lion with his bare hands to protect the sheep. And David said, there is somebody other than me who is with me. I am finding that there is a great God who is with me. And so when Saul said, you can't defeat that giant, David went back to his resume, went back to his history. And he said, let me tell you what God has taught me when nobody was looking. I killed a lion and I killed a bear with my bare hands. And as God gave me the power to kill that lion and bear, he's going to give me the power to bring down this giant. He's coming down just like they did. God wants to give you a testimony so that one day you can look back on that testimony and say, if he killed the lion and killed the bear, then I can kill this too in the name of the Lord Jesus. He had the privilege and the, not the good fortune, but God kept him away from being under the influence of cowardly Saul. And he hadn't been fellowshipping or running with Israel's backslidden army. He had been alone with God, taught by God, prepared by God, custom designed by God to walk onto the stage of history, cut from another cloth, made and designed and prepared by God. Now, what we want to see today is, how did he win? How did he pull off such an incredible victory? What did he understand that we should also understand about spiritual warfare? Let me give you three quick things. One, David was decisive. David was decisive. We find in our story that Israel had been waiting for 40 long days to begin the battle. For 40 days, they allowed this giant to come out and taunt them, intimidate them, mock them, defeat them. Day after day, and it only grew worse. So they were paralyzed by indecision. They sat where they sat and didn't do anything for several reasons. One of them, everybody was afraid of Goliath. He seemed invincible. Nobody wanted to go against him. Not even King Saul, who was the tallest man in all of Israel. Not even he stepped out to fight. Also, we find geographically the sides of the valley where they were very steep. Whoever made the first move would have had a strong disadvantage and probably would have suffered great loss. So both sides were waiting for the other to attack first. And they were paralyzed by indecision. As I was praying over this message, God told me to say something. He said, somebody in here needs to make a decision. Somebody in here needs to make a decision. You've been walking on the side long enough. You've been on the fence long enough. Somebody needs to make a decision. You know, Elijah said to Israel, he said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. See, there is power in making a decision. There are some things that are not going to happen in your life until you make a decision. When Simon Peter was in the boat looking at Jesus walking on the water, as long as he sat there, nothing happened. But when he said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out to you. And Jesus said, come. He made the decision and stepped out of the boat. And when he did, the power of God took over. You see, because a decision activates faith, and faith activates the power of God. Some of you, there's nothing happening in your life like you wish there were because you haven't made a decision. Some of you need to go ahead and decide that God is good all the time, that he is my Lord and Savior, and that I'm going to go ahead and give him all of me because he gave me all of him. I'm not going to walk on the fence anymore. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to be 110% sold out to Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to be a little here, a little there, little in, little out. James warned against double-mindedness. James said, the double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Being double-minded, double-minded. Double-mindedness brings instability. We're at the time of year when you see all kinds of dead squirrels in the road. Have you noticed that? Whenever you see a dead squirrel on the road, let me tell you what you're looking at. You're seeing a squirrel that didn't and couldn't make up his mind. It's true. You watch them run out in the street. They do this, boom. I don't like it because I like those little creatures. I like God's creatures, but every time you see one in the middle of the road, you're looking at a squirrel that couldn't make up his mind. And there's a lot of Christians run over today due to indecision. Amen. Due to indecision. I can see you. Do I go here? Do I go there? Do I go all the way with the Lord or do I stick? Boom. And you come walking in, you better preach me up. If you'd make a decision, you'd come in filled with the Holy Spirit. How long are you going to halt between two? Make up your mind. Make up your mind to get out of that habit. Make up your mind to get out of that relationship destructive to you. Make up your mind to go on with God. Make up your mind to come to Christ, maybe for the first time in your life. Make a decision. The devil's favorite word is someday. God's favorite word is today. Second, we see that David refused worldly solutions to a spiritual problem. Watch this. Once it was decided that David would fight Goliath, here comes Saul. And Saul tried putting his own personal armor on David. Now remember, Saul's the tallest man in Israel. He's a double extra large. David's about a medium. And he tries putting on his armor on David. The Bible says, so Saul clothed David with his armor.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.